blame. So we're just going to blame Eskom and say that Eskom had something to do. And mense is gewoond om die skuld op Eskom te plaas for something. So, ja, ons kan het was so. Would you stand with us as we open up in prayer, please? Thank you. Dierbare God en Hemelse Vader, ons kom na U toe vanoggend in die naam van Jesus Christus. It's by grace and grace alone that we can stand here this morning, Lord. Ons neem dit nie vanzelfsprekend nie. Every day above ground is a gift. So many times people look for a miracle and wonder if God is the God of the Bible, where's the miracles? Well, the fact that our hearts are beating is a miracle. We thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for the privilege and opportunity to celebrate two lives again. And for some of us, this is the second memorial service, but it's an honor to be able to do that, Lord God, because we can truly say of these two precious folks, of Andre and Sonika, that they are worth it. We thank You for everybody that's made the time to be here, Lord. We just pray that You be with those that are on their way and still lost, and that trust that they will just find the place, Lord God, and just to be able to partake and share with us this morning. Here dis in tye soos die waar ons besef, daar's nie menslike woorde wat 'n verskil kan maak nie. Ek het niks om te sê vir mense wat 'n leemte kan vul, maar die teenwoordigheid van die Heilige Gees kan 'n verskil maak. And we're not looking to a preacher to bring a message or an organization or a church or anything. We're looking to You, the living God. You promise that we're two or more gathered in Your name. There You are in the midst of them. Holy Spirit, would You please move way beyond the limitations of my speech. And would You touch every person in a profound way, that after the celebration this morning, they won't have the thought, ek was by die kerk, I went to church, but they can say, I had an encounter with the living God. I heard God speak to me. And that's our desire this morning, Lord. And we thank You for that in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, folks. You may take your seats. I'm going to ask that you please just make sure that your cell phones are on silent or on flight mode or vibrate or something like that. If you're expecting an urgent call, if it's the Lord, He knows what we're up to and where we are at. But please just make sure that your cell phones are off. I'd just like to extend a special welcome to each and every single one of you. Is there anybody that is visiting with us here at Real Life Ministries, or previously known as Bikers Church, whatever? The name means nothing. It's the people that counts. Anybody that's here for the first time, can I see a show of hands? Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you, guys. Bless you. For those that that come regularly, invite friends and family. It's what happens here is better experienced than it is explained. And like I said, I've got no fancy sermon that can make a difference, but one word from God can truly change our lives. Some practical arrangements: if you need to go to the loo afterwards, the ladies' toilet is here to my right hand side, just at the end of this veranda section over there, and there's some more on the inside just past the coffee counter over here. The gentleman's is just out of the parking lot around to the left like that. Those are the toilet facilities. To Koos met my gevraad, sê Mozzy, kan julle asseblief so iets vir ons doen? Sê ek, ja, by all means, ons is hier om te serve. And he asked me to be short and sweet and brief and to the point, and I'm going to do just that. So the first thing on the item we got this morning, there's a song. I'm not sure if the words are going to come up, but they've asked us to listen to the song together called Beat You There by Will Dempsey. Once that's done, I'm going to call on several folks that's going to do some thank yous and things that they'd like to read. Onder andere gaan Mays Fees, Gordon, en die dame met wie ek gesels het nou net voor die tyd voordat ons begin het. And then some other folks that are going to be reading some letters. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the celebration with us this morning. Dankie.
I just wish that I could talk to you again somehow, some way, even if it's for a moment, so I can hear you say, don't cry for me, I'm alright, I'm better than you know. And this life can be a shorter ride, so don't waste it on sorrow. And just hold on to those moments and the memories we shared. We're both headed for the same place anyway. I just beat you there. I know they say, just give it a little time, you'll be okay. That might be true. It don't really help me. Question the man upstairs. There's just so much I don't understand. It just don't seem fair. Don't cry for me, I'm alright, I'm better than you know. And this life can be shorter ride, so don't waste it on sorrow. I just beat you there. And as each day goes by, I get a little bit stronger. But that don't stop me from wishing you were here a little bit longer. Oh, 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 oh. And I know you're watching over me and everything I do. And all those things I never got to say, well, I'll send them with this prayer. Then look up, wipe my tears, and raise my beer. Mm-hmm. And I'll see you there.
Awesome, awesome words that are so real. And I know it's just the lyrics of a song, and the artist there says, the man upstairs. But I want to tell you, he's not just the man upstairs. He's a stranger. He's Abba Father, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord, the giver of life, Daddy God. I'm going to call on Gordon that's going to do a welcoming. Thank you, Mr. Drach. Is that so? Yeah, I think maybe he's Gordon, one of the folks that are lost in. Okay. All right, then we'll move on to Mace. What did she last say?
Morning, everybody. My name is Bux Roet. I've been tasked by the Toppies to do this honor. A very, very, very special welcome to everybody, family, friends, bike clubs. I read something a while ago that a person only have two lives. And the second one starts the day you realize you only have one. By the day I met Andre and Sonika, it started the best years of my life with two people who lived in abundance and enjoyed life to the full. So, what a privilege. There's a few special thank yous. If we've left anybody out, thank you, thank you. First of all, Pastor Mossi, thanks for everything and the service. Melvin Engineering for the flowers, constant support, all the items that they've supplied. Emerentia for the video and clips, the pamphlets, Magda and Lizelle. Very, very special thank you to the Max, especially Chain, and Unquist for arranging the planting of the cross and arranging the venue, and afterwards we'll have a beer at Savannah. Corne and Fred for the live streaming of this farewell. Gail Pieterse for assisting with love and guidance and to oversee a lot of the arrangements for Andre's mother. Everybody that came today, in loving memory of the beloved children, caterers. A special thank you to Mace, that also helped a lot with from the day it happened and a few with all the arrangements and some of the stuff at the house and all of that. And finally, I think we all want to thank two beloved friends, Sonika and Andre. And the fact that all of you are here means you were in one way or another part of their lives. And I personally think we all feel the thanks for having had them in our lives. We say goodbye, but never farewell. Please be on the lookout for us until we meet again in loving memory, Sonskyn and Scarface. That's that portion. One more thing. When we go out of here, please, orderly fashion, as we bikers know how to do on our bigger runs, please no revving inside the complex in there. We'll leave that for the cross there at the scene. Can we ask any marshals that's here, or even just helpers of all the clubs, that we try and man a few big intersections? The biggest one's probably just turning onto the Waldheim Road, and then there at Four Ways. That should be the only two biggish manning points, and then there's the stop there where we will turn off towards the scene, the where the cross thing will be. That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Dankie. Gaan meis nog steeds iets lees? Okay. And then daai dametjie met wie ek gesels het, as iets wat jy graag wil lees, is something you wanted to read, you're more than welcome to come. Anybody else that's got something that they want to read, you just let us know. I might not have touched base with everybody.
Marian, toe ek hierdie woorde lees, was my hart, my gedagtes by Tannie. Andre en Sonika het in soveel mense se lewens gekom. When we come to the end of our road and the sun sets for us, we don't want any rituals in the dark room. Why cry for a soul that has been set free? Miss us a little, but not for long, and not with your head bowed down. Remember the love we once shared. Miss us, but let us go. For this journey we must all take, and each must go alone. This is part of the master plan, a step on our way home. If you are lonely, sick at heart, go to the friends we know. Laugh at all the things we used to do together. Miss us, but let us go.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else that has something that they needed to read that I perhaps didn't speak with before? Let's see. Okay, thank you. Before we get into the message this morning, there's a slideshow, and then I'll be short and to the point. Thank you.
Like hell, 'cause I'd just be pretending if I said anything else. And I know God don't make mistakes, but this sure feels like one. That won't change the facts, that won't bring you back. So I'll cry 'cause it's over, and smile because we had you. Packed a whole lot of living, even though it ended all too soon. And in time, I'll start healing. But even when I get that feeling, no matter where I go or what I do, I'll never not remember you. Thank God for all the memories and pictures on my phone. They don't feel the empty, but I feel less alone. And I know you're with the angels, right where you belong. 'Cause you were one to us, you left a legacy of love. So I'll cry 'cause it's over, and smile because we had you. Packed a whole lot of living, even though it ended all too soon. And in time, I'll start healing. But even when I get that feeling, no matter where I go or what I do, I'll never not remember you. You lighten up a whole room like that. You made us think, made us feel, made us all laugh. You always giving that shirt off your back. I miss you bad, I miss you. So I'll cry 'cause it's over, and smile because we had you. Packed a whole lot of living, even though it ended all too soon. And in time, I'll start healing. But even when I get that feeling, no matter where I go or what I do, I'll never not remember you. You, I'll never not remember you. Well, I know you're up in heaven, but damn, it hurts like hell. 'Cause I'd just be pretending if I said anything else. And I know God don't make mistakes, but this sure feels like one. That won't change the facts, that won't bring you back. So I'll cry 'cause it's over, and smile because we had you. Packed a whole lot of living, even though it ended all too soon. And in time, I'll start healing. But even when I get that feeling, no matter where I go or what I do, I'll never not remember you. Thank God for all the memories and pictures on my phone. They don't fill the empty, but I feel less alone. And I know you're with the angels, right where you belong. 'Cause you were warm to us, you left a legacy of love. So I'll cry.
Thank you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you or abandon you. Thank you that we have the privilege of just gathering around your word for a few minutes, Lord God, and we trust that as you prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies this morning, there's space for everybody and we can feel welcome. I'm going to be brief this morning. There's a phrase, an expression, or an abbreviation in the Balkan culture called LHR. Some of you might know it as love, honor, respect, or loyalty, honor, and respect. And there's a thing that they call a biking brotherhood or a biking code. Most of the folks here this morning are bikers will understand that. But basically what it simply means is that in military terms, you'll know that somebody's always got your six. Somebody's always got your back. Somebody's always there when you need them. And that's the philosophy or the ideology that we strive to live to and attain and exercise amongst each other as bikers. But the truth of the matter, folks, this morning is that there comes a time in life when you most expect somebody to be there, they're not going to be there. You see, even God doesn't get everything that he expects. You think to yourself, Mozzie, this is my weird. I stand God. Well, God doesn't get everything he expects. Why do I say that? Well, God's desire is that everybody is saved from hell and that everybody ends up in heaven one day. But the truth is, millions and millions of people choose to live a life apart from God. You see, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People just choose to live apart from him. So even God experiences something where he doesn't get everything his own way. And when it comes to having this biking brotherhood and culture, there comes a time, my brother, my sister, that every one of us have to be in a place when the people you look for and expect to be there and depend on the most, they're just not there. They're just not there. And what do? In times like that? Even Jesus experienced this. He called his disciples at approximately 3.5 years ministry. And he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew his time to be arrested. And the purpose of his life was coming closer and closer, which was to lay down his life. And he says to his disciples, guys, just stick with me here. Just you guys just wait over here. I'm going to be there within eyeshot. I just want you to pray with me. He said, no worries, we'll be with you, Lord. We can trust in you. You can imagine Peter. Peter's the one who said, Lord, these others will leave you, but I will never leave you or forsake you. And he got confronted 3 times, and 3 times he denied the Lord. When he said he would be there, you know what he ended up being? A jaarbroer. Some people say good morning, you've got to go and check and see if the sun is shining. And that's Peter. But God being God, he restored him, and Peter was restored. And the first sermon that Peter ever preached, over 3,000 people got born again. So God still used him. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked his disciples to be there. And when he needed them most, they were not there. What happened? They fell asleep, folks. And in my early days of reading the scripture, I think, you bunch of muhus, I wouldn't have done that. I would have been there for Jesus because we're tight. But the scripture says they fell asleep because of grief and sorrow. How many of you have been so overwhelmed with grief and sorrow that you couldn't stay awake? Not because you've worked a 14 or 16 hour shift, but from sheer grief and sorrow, you couldn't stay awake. That's why the disciples slept. And Jesus experienced his Gethsemane. And what I want to say to us this morning is that each one of us as close and as tight as you are with whoever, there's going to come a time where all of us have to experience our personal Gethsemane. So wat beteken dit? Hoe is dit van toepassing op my? I'm going to explain it to you. There's going to come a time that when you look around, there's nothing and nobody. No biking buddy, no brother, no sister, no mom, no dad, no boss, no employer, nobody, but just you. So that we can all come to the place in our lives where we've got no choice but to turn to God. Because He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. Not jealous in our silly little ways, but He's jealous for our love and our attention and our affection. And God doesn't mind us having an abundance of wealth. He just doesn't want the wealth to have us. He doesn't mind us having an abundance of friends. He just doesn't want the friends to be more important in our lives than Him. He doesn't mind us having a biking culture and a biking code and biking brotherhood. But a patch, no matter how good it is, must never take the place of God. Because He's a jealous God. He doesn't settle for second, third, fourth best. He wants to be Lord of all or not Lord at all. So every one of us will have to experience a personal Gethsemane. And in that time, in our personal Gethsemane, God wants us to do this. Wants to do this. The scripture says, call on me. Call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Folks, I know. I've been serving the biking community in this area now. This is the 20th year of service, and I know what lots of you have been through. There's come a time where you've called on God and it seems that God is further away from you than He's ever been. It's like, what, Mozzie? You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, sir, ma'am. But God does. And in that time, when you call on Him, the Scripture promises, and He promises that He will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So, dear one, if you've not yet been at your personal Gethsemane this morning, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm a very, very positive oak. But that time is coming. That time is coming where you're going to be stripped of everything that you feel that you can lean back on, that you can support on. Jy gaan rondom jou kyk, jy gaan niks en niemand wees nie. There's going to come a time where you're going to be so low that all you can do is look up. Because when we get to the end of our rope, that's where God starts to work. Wanneer ons nie meer kan nie, then God says, okay, I'll show you that anything is possible with me if you just believe. And this is not to make you feel a heavy, like, oh, my pastor, jy weet, it's net doom and gloom, but okay, ek gaan nooit weer teruggaan nie. It's to encourage you and let you know on the other side of that difficulty and that challenge, if God is the same yesterday, today and forever. But here's the challenge. We're going to look at human nature just for a few moments. I said I'm not going to be long and I'm going to keep my word. Human nature is like this. Most of the time, we treat God like a 24-hour emergency chemist. You see, somebody said to me several years ago, Mozzie, where was God when I needed them? Where was God when I prayed and my loved one still died? And by the Spirit of God, not because I'm an arrogant little snob, because I can be sometimes, but the Spirit of God prompted me to ask this question. Where were you when God called you? You see, when the bucks are there and the friends are there and the health is there and everything's fine and it's great in the country, then we're hunting on. But when the pawpaw hits the fan, what's the first thing the devil convinces us to do? Blame God. You see, the scripture teaches that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, not God. God doesn't do that. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. Why is it that we blame God when the devil messes up our lives, folks? That's so unfair. That's so unfair. And the scripture says that we mess up our lives by our own decisions and we want to blame God. Like, really? So God doesn't want to be treated like a 24-hour emergency chemist. Just there when he revealed papas, and when the pawpaw hits the fan, and when life happens, he wants to be your all. So when you face that personal Gethsemane, maybe you're in that place right now, and you say, Mozzie, if you only know what's going on. I don't, but God does. I want to encourage you, friend, turn to God. You see, I don't have an answers. I don't have answers. It's bad enough when children have to bury parents. But when parents have to bury children, Marion, what do you say to somebody like that? What do you say? I don't have the answers. But together, we can turn to the one who has the answers. And his name is Jesus. You see, what makes Christianity unique is that Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the grave. As Christians, we can boast that our God is not in a tomb. We can't show you the place where he lay, where his bones are decaying. We can show you the place where he once was laid, but since then he's risen, he's gone to heaven, and he's coming again. That's what we can boast of. So we've got to go through our personal Gethsemane. And my encouragement to you as I start to close this morning is that there's a principle of getting your house ready before the storm. Don't wait until the pawpaw hits the fan in your life and then, like, God, where are you? Where was God when I needed him? And God's looking to us all the time, calling us to a closer relationship with him. Jesus says, this is how the things of heaven and things of the kingdom are. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep. And it's only in the Gospel of Luke that says that. The other Gospels have this account, but they don't mention the word deep. It's important that a foundation is deep. You see, the building that we're in this morning, we weren't part of the building process. It was built before we bought it. But I got to see the pictures, and I saw the foundation. And we think this morning this building is on a foundation. You see, dependent on the size of a building will determine the size and the depth of the foundation. But the foundation that needs to be in our lives are the everlasting arms of God. There's a scripture that says, underneath are the everlasting arms. So when we fall, make sure that we fall into the arms of God. And it says, this is like somebody who building a house digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And it's interesting that the words that Jesus used is when the floods, not if the floods. Because wees verseker, die vloede gaan kom. Life is going to happen. A couple of Sundays ago, when Andre and Sonica got in their motorcycle, unbeknownst to them, for the last time, when Andre turned the key in the ignition, they didn't know that there was but minutes. And I'm not, ek wil nie iemand bang praat nie, but that's the reality of where we are this morning, folks. Who knows if we're going to see tomorrow? We make plans as and live as if we're just going to live forever. That's not true. Life is but a vapor. It's over in an instant. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So Jesus' encouragement and the Holy Spirit's beckoning on your heart this morning is this. Make sure your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls the rock of ages. Nie, ek het my geloof nie. Ek hoef nie dit te doen nie, ek hoef nie dat te doen nie. Well, just make sure that your geloof is the way God wants it to be. Is that okay? So that when the storm comes, your house is built on the rock. I'm going to close off with these four questions this morning. We speak about foundations. I will do you a disservice if I do not give you the privilege and the opportunity to make sure your heart is right with God. Four questions you ask yourself. Number one, are you 100% that you are assured in your relationship with God? Where you are at right now, are you assured of your relationship with God? That you and God, you're sorted. The other question is, if your heart had to stop right now, or tragically an accident, whatever, and you stood before God, and he said, child, why must I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? The third question is, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I hear that you're a church person, that you're a happy clappy, you're a Jesus freak, or you're a Christian, How do I get into heaven? I want to know. I hear that you're a Christian. How do I get into heaven? Please tell me. What would you tell that person? And then the last question is, what makes you sure and feel that you deserve to get to heaven, but a mass murderer doesn't? What makes you feel that ek verdien om in die hemel te kom, ewige lewe deur te bring met Jesus, maar 'n moordenaar nie? Folks, if your answer to any one of those questions this morning is, well, Mozzie, I go to church, I give this, I do that, I pray, I tell people about Jesus, ek dra 'n kruisie om my nek. If your answer has anything to do with anything you do, my brother, my sister, you're in serious, serious trouble. Because the scripture says we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, so that no man can boast. The only assurance of salvation that we can have is to believe the claims of Jesus, that he's the Son of God, that he died, shed his blood to pay for our mess and our sins, that he rose again from the grave, and that he ascended and is preparing a place for us one day. It is only through faith and faith alone in the completed work of the cross of Jesus Christ. So how does your foundation look this morning? I'm done preaching. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads as we pray together, please? Let's just pray together. This is not about anything else other than you doing business with God. Let's just take a few moments to allow the Spirit of God to land the truth of what we've heard this morning in our hearts. As we're seated here in these few precious moments, we want to thank you, Lord, that we could celebrate this time together. And thank you, Jesus, for the gift of eternal life that we can have through faith. Thank you that we have lived this far. Today is a gift, and we thank you for it. And as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I want you to please, please take an honest look at your life and ask yourself, how would I answer those questions? What would I say? Maybe you're not sure. I want to ask you, if you'd like to be sure, you're in the right place this morning. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, this is the most important time of this memorial service this morning. If you are in any way unsure that you'd make it to heaven, if you're unsure what your answer should be to God or how you'd answer that person who asks you, if you're in any way unsure, could you please just raise your hand? Just lift your hand up. If you're too shy to do that, just look at me, anybody. This is not about who sees or who thinks anything. It's about you and God. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Anybody else, you're not 100% sure of your relationship with God, please put your hand up, anybody. Thank you, folks. You can put your hands down. As we continue to pray, maybe you didn't raise your hand and you should have. It's okay. God knows your heart anyway. I want you to pray this quietly in your heart with me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning and I realize that I've messed up so many times in my life. So many times I've said, I'm going to stop this, I'll never do this again, and before I know it, I'm back to square one in my same old ways. And God, I don't know how to stop, I don't know how to quit, I don't know how to change. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I ask that you forgive me. I know I don't deserve it, like you know I don't deserve it. But Jesus, you died for me anyway, just because you love me. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. Please wash me clean. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that you're God's Son. I believe that you died, were buried, rose from the grave 3 days later, and ascended into heaven. And you're going to prepare a place for me. I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. Lord, I ask you that you save me from myself and that you save me from hell and harm. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you help me to live for Jesus Christ the rest of my days until he comes or you take me home. And I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I'm going to ask you folks, before we close off with the last a last song, and we pray a final blessing over you. If you, in sincerity, have prayed that prayer in your heart, not because of emotions, but you were serious about that prayer, the Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit has made your spirit born again. That's what it means. And we'd like to give you something to explain to you what that's about. And like I said, we don't want to put the spotlight on anybody or embarrass anybody. But if you prayed that prayer in all sincerity for the first time, we'd like you to please come and collect. I'll be in the front chair waiting for you. Come and collect one of these books from me. In English, it's called Knowing and Experiencing God. And in Afrikaans, Ken en Ervaar God. It's got some scripture verses, just a few. It's not a difficult read to help you understand what I do when I'm experiencing this. What do I read when I need to pray for this? And it helps you explain what's happened, the commitment that you've made in your heart this morning. And if you've prayed that prayer, I want to please, before you get on your motorcycles, if we go and do the planting of the cross and go to Savannah for some alternative refreshment, please make sure that you get one of these booklets from me. I'm going to also ask that you all stand with us as we do that final song together, and I'm going to pray a blessing over all of us. Thank you for making the time to listen and to come here this morning. God bless you. Let's stand together. Thank you.
Because